Moncrief on News Talk.
None of us are as logical as we might like to think we are. We can develop a fixed idea, convince ourselves that it's correct, and then resist any arguments against it, even if there is substantial evidence to the contrary, which of course can be particularly pernicious when it comes to conspiracy theories. New research from UCC has looked into the most effective methods of combating conspiratorial thinking. We're joined from there by researcher Cian O'Mahony. Afternoon, Cian.
Afternoon, Sean. Thank you for having me on the show.
And now, part of this was you looked at some of the methods that various governments used to combat conspiracy theories. How effective were they?
That's correct, Sean. We were comparing several interventions that researchers and governments alike have used to challenge how people think about conspiracy theories. They've all been tested by themselves, but never compared directly to each other. So we found two really interesting things. We were teaching people really about critical thinking, giving them general kind of guidance on the common flaws and pitfalls of kind of conspiracy thinking. And we were hoping to help them improve how they apply critical thinking skills to conspiracy theories. So what we did is we came up with a number of kind of fictional scenarios, kind of fictional conspiracy theories. Half of them were kind of plausible conspiracy theories, like Watergate or Cambridge Analytica, stuff that's actually happened in the past. And then the other half were conspiracy theories that we're all more familiar with, like Flat Earth and lizard people and whatnot. So what we found is those interventions that you mentioned the government are using and research has been using, they were very effective, but there was a small bit of a catch. They only worked on increasing people's critical thinking skills to the sort of stereotypical conspiracy theories like Flat Earth and lizard people and such. But what we found is they weren't actually that good at helping people spot when conspiracy theories might actually happen in the real world. Mm-hmm. So we know that these conspiracies can happen. They're not very common, but they still happen. So we were interested in how do we solve this issue of making people better at not falling for unlikely conspiracy theories, but also when a conspiracy does actually happen, how do we equip people to be able to actually detect when that might be likely?
Yeah, okay. Now, when you say critical thinking, what exactly is that, Cian? Because there's people listening to us right now who might believe something that others might regard as a total conspiracy theory, but they would argue that they've arrived at these conclusions because they've been using critical thinking, because they've been going, no, that's the consensus. I don't accept that. And I've done my research to use that old hackneyed cliche. So what's the difference between their sort of critical thinking and the sort of critical thinking you're talking about?
I suppose what we're trying to encourage there, Sean, is we are really going back to kind of basic critical thinking skills. These things are like confusing correlations with causation, providing very complicated explanation for things when more plausible explanations exists, making sure that when you are listening to experts, it's not just one lone rogue expert that might be in the pockets of somebody else, but actually listening to the larger scientific consensus. Really, we're actually just kind of teaching basic principles here. And it's kind of a case where I think anyone can argue that just using general rules of thumb and critical thinking skills that we're all familiar with is better than kind of telling people what to believe or what not to believe. Mm. So again, an interesting case that we are making is that we're actually encouraging in some instances that, yes, some conspiracies can happen. And we want to teach people when the evidence points in that direction, if you look for corroborating evidence, the kind of evidence that might point towards that direction, sometimes that's a natural conclusion to draw. So interesting enough, we're not actually teaching anything too radical. We're just trying to remind people to think about information before you jump to a conclusion, consider it deliberately, and then just form your own conclusions and afterwards.
Yeah.
So we're not necessarily telling people what to believe so much as teach them basic kind of critical thinking skills. And hopefully that kind of helps people evaluate information before they draw their conclusions.
And would it be fair to say, Cian, that all the things you've outlined there are would probably be very useful in inoculating people, particularly younger people, against, you know, going down the rabbit hole, etc. Whereas people who are already down there, they need something completely different.
Yeah, that's a great point there, Sean, because a thing that we tend to fall into, there's this kind of stereotype that there is a conspiracy theorist, just one type of person that believes conspiracy theories. But the interesting fact is that the average person believes in at least one conspiracy. And there's other conspiracies, such as sports conspiracies and such, that we wouldn't immediately think as a conspiracy theory, but yet we can fall for it. And other things like gossip and rumors. So what we're interested in is really kind of inoculating or teaching every member of the public how to apply these skills so that we all can actually think of information more critically. So it's not really a case we're just looking for this kind of stereotypical conspiracy theorist who believes all these kind of different beliefs. We're actually trying to improve everyone's ability to think about information, form their own conclusions. And yes, I think, as you said there with children, it's a case where sometimes it could be a case of catching, prevention is kind of better than the cure, in a sense, where if you can teach people these skills early, rather than people forming these hard, solid beliefs and having to do damage control afterwards, it's a lot better to kind of get there early and to teach people these skills before they kind of get wrapped up in these beliefs.
How extensive is the teaching of these skills?
So this is a quite simple experiment. We only showed people several posters. These were little infographics, about 4 to 5, and they had about 1 or 2 sentences saying, do not believe in conspiracies that are, you know, overly complicated. Always look for more simpler explanations. They were very simple statements. And we found actually one of the most effective things we did was add a very simple sentence that just reminded people that a common side effect of learning about critical thinking about conspiracies is that can actually make people more skeptical of conspiracies, even ones that could happen. Mm-hmm. And we just reminded them, think of the information and don't always jump to the conclusion that conspiracy theory might be unlikely as well or untrue. And just that little sentence or those 2 sentences was enough to really skyrocket the how effective these interventions were.
Yeah, because I suppose one has to struggle against your own biases, though none of us like to think we have biases.
Exactly, exactly. And it's interestingly for ourselves too, as researchers. Like, again, as researchers, we have our own biases. So instead of kind of forming your own conclusions about conspiracy theories and then telling the public what to believe in, we found it was a lot more diplomatic and democratic to actually just define these skills, teach them to people, and then let them kind of make their own conclusions.
Mm. The skills themselves, though, I mean, if you can see something on Facebook, that makes sense to you. And but how much, how much work do you have to do to establish whether it's actually true or not? Most people mightn't have that much time to establish whether something's actually true or not.
That's a great point, Sean, because it's one thing to have these skills. It's another thing to actually use them. So you can learn these skills in isolation. And then when the time comes, if a conspiracy suits your needs or ideas, some people might put these skills away and decide to ignore them. There's a whole other factor of people's kind of social psychology coming into play here in terms of these skills. But the important thing is that once people have these skills in the first place, they then can be kind of encouraged to use them. So we're very interested in kind of motivating people to use these skills in their everyday life. So it's one thing you have to teach the skills, but also motivate people to always be on the lookout and to always use them. Because as you said there with the Facebook example, the likely thing then would be to look for contradicting evidence or look for evidence that might, let's say, contradict your initial bias. But you have to want to do that in the first place too. So we're looking to kind of encourage people to have that want and to engage in those critical thinking skills.
Yeah, because I suppose it also applies, I suppose, to things you might necessarily categorize as conspiracy theories, just untrue pieces of information. For instance, gossip. In that, you know, if somebody comes to you with a bit of really juicy gossip about somebody you know in common, you're not going to question it because it's juicy gossip.
Exactly. And that's the thing, I like the example you used there, Sean, of gossip, because the thing is, conspiracies are inherently enjoyable. They're a very fun narrative. And we as people really like stories. So we tend to kind of grasp onto these kind of stories because they're interesting. So sometimes it's not very fun when people like myself, the fun police, come along and tell people, no, you shouldn't believe in this. But that is the case. There is a element of people being attracted to this very exciting story. And sometimes it might be somewhat less fun to not entertain those beliefs. But at the same time, I think there's an element of joy and interest in doing your own detective work and using your critical thinking to check whether a conspiracy is true or not. So I think you can kind of harness a bit of that fun too by encouraging people to use these skills almost in a detective-like fashion.
Yeah. Should they teach this kind of thing in school?
I think there's definitely an imperative to start like using critical thinking in schools and to kind of encourage it more, because you see that it's becoming more and more important. And we're seeing here, like, again, they were very simple principles. These weren't very complicated rules of thumb that we were trying to teach. They were easy enough to put into a handful of infographics. So again, I would be hugely behind teaching critical thinking skills as kind of a step towards just increasing people's ability to kind of think about this information online.
Cian, thanks very much for speaking with us today. Cian O'Mahony is a researcher at University College Cork and a part-time member of the Fun Police.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.